series last week. This is it. Last week of this little series on Gideon. Four messages on Gideon. Usually Gideon in the Bible gets one. That's what he gets. He gets the one we gave last week. Remember? Where he had 32,000 men and God says, that's too many. All y'all want to go home, go home. 22,000 left right there. I'm gone! Had 10,000 left. God said, that's too many. Why? Because you're not going to humble yourself. You're still going to think it's you. You're still going to think it's you and not me fighting for you. And so he said to him, take them down to the water. The ones that pick their hands up like this and lap the water like a dog, set them over here. The ones that get down on all fours and just maybe jump in the water, put the head in the water, you put them over here. There was 97 of them jokers over here, the bow downers. And there was 300 dog lappers. And Gideon was like hoping, going, oh, Jesus, please let me have the bow downers, please. And God said, nope, you get the 300 dog lappers. And we're going to defeat the Midianites, at least 120,000, really probably more like 150,000 of them. And we're going to do it without a single bullet. Amen. And we saw that last week, and that is that crazy story of Gideon, little Gideon. Amen. Humble Gideon. Gideon who thought he was a nothing and a nobody. And that's how he introduced himself to us when we met him a few weeks ago. So now let's finish it up today. Here we go. Potential. Say that with me. Possible, capable, and what? Well able. Potential means possible, capable, and well able. You have potential. Personally, I can't stand whiners. That's just me. I'm not perfect. He shouldn't be that way. Well, I just told you I am. That's who I am. I just have never liked that. Yes or no? Amen. Or excuse making. Just keep making it. Well, you know, we ain't never going to get nothing done. Come on, man. Whining your way through life. That doesn't mean bad things don't. Bad things do happen. But you have the potential, the ability to rise above that and to make it through that if you want to. But it's going to take some work and it's going to be hard and some sweat and some tears. I understand. But I'd still rather be with that crowd any day of the week. Y'all hear me? Yes or no? Instead, we get together Friday night and go have a potluck and whine together. Well, don't count me in. I'm going to go find me a football game to go to or something. Amen. Say, somebody's going to smack somebody. Amen. So, you have potential, man, in your life. That's what we've been trying to talk about. Not just talk about Gideon. We want to also talk about us. Amen. So, that's how we try to preach here. So, here's the message today. The key to success. Say that with me. The what? The what? To success. As I've looked at Gideon. Now, this is Gary looking. As I've looked at Gideon. And I was in my office the other day studying. Obviously, God gets all the credit. Obviously, that was the situation. But Gideon had to do his 1%. Say 1%. He had to do his 1%, which is all in. That don't mean it's 99% God, 1%. That don't mean just 1% of your 100%. It means 100% of you. When you give 100% of you, that still ain't but 1% of the equation to get the job done. Because that's 99 needs to be God. Amen. But when I looked at Gideon, I saw something. I saw the key to success for my life and for your life. And I saw the key to success for his life. And I just like to share with you what I found. And it'll be a lot of scripture today, like a Bible study. To begin with, let's look at a few scriptures. Though the Lord be high, say it with me, yet he has respect to the who? Lowly, but the who? Proud, he knows what? You way over there, Jack. Amen. You want to get close to the Lord? Don't be full of yourself. That's what that's teaching. But he gives more grace. Wherefore, say it with me. God resists the who? Proud. But he gives grace to the who? Humble. Wow. I thought church was going and bragging about how much I do and how much I read the Bible and how much I know, how much I give to the poor. God says, no, you got it all wrong, Jack. I don't have much to do with that. You want to get close to me? Be humble. Hush your mouth. Amen. Say yes or no. Come on. Say it with me. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might do what? Exalt you in due time. So often we try to play that game, especially in our work life, where we go, you know, you got to get on the inside, and you got to talk the talk, and you got to hobnob with the, you know, and you got to build your, you know, and you got to put somebody else down so you can get lifted up. God says, you go ahead and have at it. I'm not involved in that. I'm not involved in that. How about you just work hard? How about you do the right thing? How about you put a full day's work in? You get there early and you stay late. And so when you do get exalted, you'll know it was me that exalted you and not your game playing. Amen. God has a different way for us. This is the key to success. Jesus made himself of what? No reputation. He took upon him the form of a what? Servant. Jesus was made in the likeness of who? Men. And being found in fashion as a man, Jesus did what? Humbled himself and became obedient to what? To death, even the death of a what? Cross. That is the key to success. Do you see that? Matter of fact, that whole passage in chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, etc. Amen? Let this mind be in you. So we're talking about the key to success today. And I think we've learned already. What is the key to success? What's the word? One more time. What is it? One more time. Say it good and loud. The key to success is what? The key to marriage is what? Humility is key to marriage. No, I'm going to tell her what to do. She don't do it. Oh, you're a big dog, aren't you? Say, I'm the man. Look at me. I'm going to tell you one day, you're going to look like me. Yeah, then what you going to say? Humility is the key to parenting. Did you hear me? I just beat them and mess, you know. Hey, I'm all about discipline. But how about humbling yourself before your children, getting down there with them, spending time with them? Amen. Last night I'm sitting on the couch. Lord help me, I'm 56 years old. I'm sitting on the couch. Danny comes out with this pink ribbon. I'm sitting on the couch watching a ball game. She ties on my head this pink ribbon. And then puts a blue feather down my back. Dad, you look like an Indian. Yeah, hush your mouth back there behind the curtain. I hear you. My daughter, she watches from the back screen. But you can see it from the back there. But the point is that, you know, she had the biggest time playing on me like that. Amen. Say, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. I'm not giving myself as some great example of humility. But when you humble yourself with your children, you do things with your children, you get a little crazy with your children. They see you come off your perch way up here, Pastor Gary, come right on down here. You know what? To them, I ain't their pastor. You understand? I'm their daddy and a big, big guy they can play with, right? Yes or no? Humility. When I was dating Kim years ago, she would tell me, I would say, lady, you better watch it. And she says, when I'm dating you, I don't see the pastor. I see Gary. Amen. Say, need to come off our perch. Yes or no? Amen. And don't put me on some perch here. You're Pastor Gary. Are you kidding me? I'm worse than most of you. You hear me? Say, don't put me up here. I'm just like you. We're all in need of prayer. Amen. Say, we all need the Lord here. We're not coming here to try to be like Gary. We're coming here to try to be like Jesus. Amen. Yes or no? Amen. Come on. Praise the Lord. Come on. Get it down. Get it down. Amen. Come on. So here we go. I ain't never going to get nowhere, Ray, if we don't go, brother. My bad. So, humility, what is humility? When you look it up in the dictionary, no conceit. You're not conceited. Did you know people can succeed by being conceited? Sure, you can get to the top another way, but you're not on God's list at the top. You understand it? I lose you. And probably great will be your fall. Humility is no pretending, no pretending. Preachers are the worst. We're scared if we open up, show you who we are, you'll quit coming, or better yet, you'll run us off. Here's my philosophy. If y'all quit coming, I'll quit coming. How about that? Amen. Say. Life's a two-way street, isn't it? Yes or no? I'm just going to try to be me. I found through pain, and how many else would relate to me on that? Through the pain in my life, through the hurt in my life, I finally found out who I was. I had to hit the floor, but I found out who I was. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Let me see some man, the best thing that ever happened to me. The mess and the crap I went through, the best thing that ever, because that's where I met God. Amen. Say, at the bottom. No pretending. That's what humility is. Here it is. Say that one with me. Humility is what? Not what? Grasping. That's what humility really is. It's not grasping for power. It's not being somebody to get something. I'll be nice to them. Maybe they'll leave me their house. How about get a job and get you one yourself that nobody's going to take? Amen. How about that? Come on. Amen. Come on, man. It's not, we don't want to do that, grasp for power. Humility is not that. That's why that first verse over in Philippians says, Jesus, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The idea is that he didn't grasp for his power that he had. He was willing to, for a time, set that aside so that you and I could be saved. You understand that? He came down here born of a virgin, a little baby. As a little child, somebody could have crushed his head in. He humbled himself, grew up. People spit on him. All for you and me. Amen. He didn't grasp for that power. And then therefore, the Bible says in that same passage, wherefore God hath highly exalted Jesus. And given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should what? And every tongue should what? Confess that he is what? Lord, for the glory of who? God the Father. Amen. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be what? Saved. Jesus. Humility. Humility is 99% God and 1% me. Say that with me. Humility is what? And 1%, that's what humility is. Humility is not false humility. It's just all God. It's all God. Ain't none of me. Well, you're right. You're almost right. No, it's 99% God and 1% you. You must be humble. You must be in the equation. Otherwise, you can be whatever. No. God says, you must be humble. You've got to do your part. Gideon had to do his part. Keep looking. So let's walk with Gideon now. This last little bit that most people don't look at. We're going to look at it. The key to success. Number one, say it with me. The key to success, number one, is think what? Think what? We've studied chapter 6. We've studied chapter 7. Now we're going to go to chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim, this is the largest tribe, Ephraim, of the 12 tribes of Israel. When Gideon was trying to get some people together to fight the Midianites, he did not call on the tribe of Ephraim. They're the biggest, they're the mightiest. He did not call on them. Say that with me. He did not call on them. Why? It was probably, honest to goodness, he might have been scared too.
He called probably, I'm just guessing, he might have just called on some other lowly tribes like himself. But for some reason, he didn't call on Ephraim's tribe, the fighters, the ones that were the strongest, the one that would be a no-brainer. Call on them to help you whoop those boys' tail down there in the valley. Well, he didn't. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why have you served us like this? Why didn't you call on us? Now the battle's over. Pretty much. You understand? The battle's won. The battle's over. Why didn't you call on us when you went at the beginning to fight the Midians, the Midianites? Why didn't you call on us, Gideon? And they did what? Say the word. Chide with him what? This ain't some question. Hey, teacher, what's 3 plus 3? No. This is a purpose. They said this. They were royally ticked off at him. I'm going to tell you right now, they were strong enough to back it up. They were the leaders. And even though a good thing had happened with the Midianites being destroyed and now they're all on the run, this could have really wrecked the situation that God was trying to put together here. Yes or no? Amen. And so we can learn something. Think what? Think humbly. When you have situations that come up, think how? Think humbly. So Ephraim was the most prominent of the 12 tribes. The leaders were offended that they were not called upon to fight at the very what? Now I keep saying they weren't called upon to fight at the very beginning. You'll see why in a second. The second key to success. So number one, think humbly. Here's the second key to success. Number two, say it with me. Praise others and not. Can we say that one loud because we need to? Praise others and not. I could stand up here all day and talk about leaders and things I've read and things like that. And I even see it in today's culture. Those that are successful, very successful. People that work with them, people that work around them. They will charge hell with a water pistol for people they work for because the person up there at the top praises them, makes them believe they're worth something. Makes them feel like they're part of the team and not just a piece of trash that's on the team. You hear me, yes or no? Praise others and not yourself. So what? How did Gideon respond? Here's little Gideon, the runt of the tribe, of the least of the tribe. Not a fighter at all. He was with his daddy behind a wine press threshing some wheat in a cave. Because the land was taken over, and it almost looks like a guy's about to die. Ready, just surviving. So now he's met the Lord, humbled himself, done some things, whooped their tail. And now the big dogs are coming to him. Amen. Yes or no? So what's he going to do? What's his answer going to be? I did it like I wanted to do it. And you see how it worked out. Y'all been trying for years, couldn't beat them. Little old me, I did it just like this. I thought to myself, get you a horn. Get you some pitchers. Put some fire in it. Break them. And they'll all kill themselves. See, because I am somebody. Did he say any of that? He take no credit. Why do we not take credit for the blessing and the success of fellowship? Because we want to succeed. Amen. So we want to what? Succeed. Oh, and by the way, and we are. For the glory of God. This is all through the Bible. This ain't just with Gideon. It's all through the Bible. So what did he do? So Gideon said unto Ephraim. To, you can imagine the high muckety-muck leaders of Ephraim, this tribe, the largest, the strongest, the biggest. What have I done now in comparison of you? Be careful, you'll miss this. Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? Now listen, you can get lost. Keep looking, verse 3. God hath delivered into your hands, Ephraim, say it with me, the princes of who? Midian. Give me their names. Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? Are you feeling it? Then their anger, say that, oh, that's huge. Say this last part with me. Then their anger was what? Abated toward him when he did what? Now, what did he say? Here's what he said. He said, what did I do in comparison to you? That's what a good CEO says. A good CEO should stand up and say, without me, without you, I would be nothing. That's what I want to be here at Fellowship. Without you? Are you kidding me? What would Fellowship Church be? Some country speaker with a loud mouth. That drives like a lunatic around Englewood. Come on. Guys, we love Jesus and we love people. Amen. And the we just ain't me, baby. It's us. Amen? This is what Gideon was doing. He had had a mighty battle, a mighty victory. But you know what he said to them? He said, you know what? No, I didn't call on you at the beginning. But I called on y'all really after they had pretty much killed themselves and they were on the run. He said, I called on you to go after the two princes, the head dogs. And you know what you did? What I did was nothing. We just stood around. You went out there with your troops and you apprehended the two princes. And you brought back their heads to me. Me in comparison to you. You did the big thing. And he took something that could have blown up the whole situation. And he diffused it with what? Humility. Did you feel it or not? Number 3, so think humbly, praise others, not yourself. Number 3, say it with me, live humbly. Live humbly. Let that be your life. Let that be the way you live life. Don't come to church, oh, I just love Jesus, and you know, and we just come in here humble today. Yes, Lord. And then you go out and like, get out of the way, move. It's about me, move. Hush, shut up. That's not going to fly with God. Did y'all hear me, yes or no? Church has been doing it for years. You act like one way on Sunday, and you act like this the rest of the week. You ever heard that before, yes or no? Because we're good at it, aren't we, yes or no? This isn't going to happen without work. This is going to take work to live this way. Amen. And Gideon came to Jordan and he passed over it. He and the 300 men that were with him. They were what? They were what? They were faint. What's that mean? They about to die. They wore out. They in the desert. I've been over there on tour buses and getting out of bus tour in this land over here. And man, I'm just out there walking around for an hour and I got to have me some ice cream. I'm just telling you. I can only imagine having to really do it. Amen. Say. They were faint. Yet they kept pursuing the ones of the Midianites that were on the run. There were still about maybe 30,000 of them that were on the run. They kept pursuing them suckers. Amen. And all the tribes. Now watch what happened. And Gideon said to the men of Succoth. Succoth. He comes to this little town and he said about to the men there and everybody, and these were his own people. The people of Succoth were part of his, the people of Israel. And he says, give, I pray you, some loaves of bread. Say loaves of bread. One more time. I went to eat the other night with Coach Bears and Coach Huber from the high school, head basketball coach. And we go to Bonefish Grill. That is the best bread I've ever had in my life. I just got to give a commercial real fast. You take that bread and then you dip it in that stuff. We didn't have that stuff in the country. We don't know what this stuff is. But it's them herbs and mess and olive oil and mess. You know what I'm talking about? You dip it in there. What's that called? Pesto. I call it amazing right there. But of course I had a steak and I had this. But honest to goodness, if they'd have brought me more of that bread and some more of that mess, I could have been happy right there. So Gideon, he asked for what? Loaves of bread. For the guys that follow me, for they're faint, they're hungry. And I'm pursuing after Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian, two other leaders. I'm pursuing after them. So his men were famished. Keep looking. Live humbly. He simply requests what? Did he go, I'm Gideon. I saved you. Give me everything. Give me a steak. Give me lamb. Give me this. Put a jewel on my head and around my neck. He simply asked for what? He simply asked for what? Could he, doing what he did, could he have asked for more and probably got it if he was a little tougher? Yes or no? But he didn't. He lived humbly. This is me writing. What I'm seeing is I'm studying. He didn't ask for military intelligence. He didn't say, have you seen them? Let's get together. He didn't ask for any of that. He didn't say, listen, there's only 300 of us. I want all your men to come now with me. Because we've defeated 120,000 of them. He didn't ask for that. He asked simply for what? Live humbly. Keep looking. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in your hand? Do you have them in shackles? I'm not saying when you live humbly, people won't come against you. Because, see, when you're humble, they think they can. Yes or no? They think you a doormat. They think you a this. You ain't strong. That's what a lot of people think. Humility is weakness. Humility is not weakness. Humility is a meekness. It's a strength under control. I could choke you, but I choose not to. You understand? Live this way. And so, they rejected him. They rejected him. No, not going to give you anything. These are his people. Not going to give you no bread. What'd Gideon do? I know what Gary would have done. I'd have beat the snot out of him. With a ball bat. I'm just telling you what I would have done. See, I need this message. And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord's delivered Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, I'm going to tell you something. Here's what he said. I'm going to tell you something. All right? All right? But when I do get them, because I will, because God's good and faithful to me, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tear your flesh with thorns and I'm going to beat you with some briar sticks. Have a nice day. Gideon was Arnold Schwarzenegger before he ever thought about it. He said, I'll be back. I will be back. I'm coming back for you. I'm going to tell you that right now. My men are hungry. We asked for some bread. All we wanted was some of that bonefish bread and some of that little sauce. That's all we wanted. That's all we wanted. And he went then to the next town, Penuel. Okay. Another town up the way. Come on, boys. We dead almost. Well, come on, hush your mouth. Come on. Went to Penuel and he said the same thing to them. He said the same thing. We're going after these fellas, you know, can you give us some bread? He said the same thing. And the men of this city, Penuel, answered and said unto him the same that Succoth said, no, 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 we're not going to help you. Main reason they didn't help, was they were probably on the outskirts closest to the enemy. And they were scared. To be honest with you, these two towns were probably scared. They'd be the first, if they ever helped him in any way, they'd come back for them. Well, that's just weakness and sorriness. Amen or oh me? And he said unto the men of Penuel, and if you look at history and you study the history of this city, there was a big tower, and it was like a watchtower. They could watch out against the enemy. The big old tower in their town. And Gideon looked at that tower. He said, when I come back, because of the way you treated us, I ask humbly, I was kind and nice to you. But when I do have them apprehended, I'm going to come back and I'm going to rip this tower down to the ground.
See you later.
So we're not going to give you any bread. So what are we learning? The key to success. I got to fly. The key to success. Say that with me. Believe God can. One more time. Believe God can. No bread. But he said, I'll be back. No bread. But he said, oh, I'll get them. I'll get them. I'll get them because God's good for it. And this tower is coming down. God will do what he said he will do. Did you hear me? This is humility. Believing God will do what he said he'll do, man. Believe his word. Believe his promises. Amen. Now Ziba and Zalmunna were in Karkar. And their host with them, about 15,000 men. All that were left of the host of the children of the east. For there fell about 120,000 already that drew sword on last week's message, remember? And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents in the east of Nobah and Jogbaha. Boy, these are crazy towns. And smote the host, for the host was what? Secure. And when Ziba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, Gideon. And he took the two kings of Midian, Ziba and Zalmunna, and he discomfited all the host. That's a nice King James word for saying they weren't very comfortable when he left. And Gideon, the son of Joash, he returned from battle before the sun was up. Can you believe this little joker that God's using him? Yes or no? And he caught a young man of what town? Succoth. And inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth. You know, there were some men I talked to a while back. Son, can you tell me, one looked like this and he had this on him and, you know, can you tell? Oh, yeah, that's our chief muckety-muck folk. And the elders thereof, even 70 men. Is that 77? Is that right, yes or no? About 77 of these suckers that said no to him. And Gideon came unto the men of Succoth and said, behold, Ziba and Zalmunna, with whom you did upbraid me, saying, are the hands of Ziba and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give you bread unto the men that are weary? Well, look at them. Told you I was going to get them. And he took the elders of the city. How many of them? How many? And thorns of the wilderness and briars. And with them he taught the men a what? A lesson. I am convinced this is where switching your children came from in the Bible. Grandma had to get it somewhere. I mean, are you kidding me? Yes or no? How many had your leg popped by a switch? Let me see some hands. Did it help you? Help my tail. Mama didn't have no switch. She'd beat you with the end of a fly swatter. I ain't saying do it. It was not good. No, that because I was running. Not the flappy end. She'd hold the flappy end and hit you with that other end. And that's before the days of plastic. Remember, what was that made out of? What? Oh, Mama! You shouldn't have run. I'm horrible, I know. I'm old-fashioned, ain't I? And he beat down also, guess what? He beat down the tower of what? Penuel. Believe God can. Say that with me. Believe God. Keep going. Then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of man were you that you thought you, that whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, as you are, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said to them, those men that you killed, they were my brothers. They were the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if you had saved them alive, I wouldn't kill you. Gideon talking. Keep looking. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and kill him. His boy, he said, go kill him. Gideon had a boy. He said, go kill him. Go kill him. But the youth was a boy. He withdrew not his sword. He feared. He's just a young man. And by the way, this didn't run in Gideon's family. He was not a mighty fighting man. So I assume not his kid wasn't either. You understand? Then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise you and you fall on us. They're running their mouth to Gideon. This is a humble man. Just want to give you a warning. When you think you can push a humble man around, don't be surprised if something don't jump out of that man and beat the crap out of you. You understand? Yes or no? Amen. How many had a humble mama? Let me see some hands. You had a humble mama. How many of you had a humble mama, but you learned one day, don't mess with mama? Can I see your hand? Yes or no? Amen. Say, I don't know how somebody 120 pounds can beat you like that. Can you? I'm crazy, ain't it? So Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise, you fall on us. For as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and he killed both of them. And he took the ornaments away that was around their necks and the camel's necks. Here. Gideon shows it never was about me. It never was about me. Keep looking. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule over us. Rule over us, Gideon. We want you to be our king. You and your children, be our king, Gideon. Be our king. Gideon says, it never was about me. Gideon never lost that. Do you hear me? Yes, sir. A lot of people get success and it changes them. But Gideon was humble at the beginning and he was humble all the way through. And he remained humble. That's the key to success. Doesn't mean he's perfect, though. That's this last point. Don't get too cute. When you're succeeding and you're humble, don't get... Say that with me. Don't get too cute. At Fellowship Church, we don't want to get too cute. Look what the Lord did. Look at all this. Hey, he gets all the credit. Yes or no? Just don't get too cute. We got this and we got that. You hear of other churches maybe struggling and we're not. Hey, don't get too cute. Did you hear me? Yes or no? Don't get too cute. Your business is succeeding and somebody, you builders that are succeeding right now, don't get too cute. Charlotte County, if you're listening this morning, you're sitting on a fat cash cow of money coming in. Don't get too cute and plant another Murdoch out there. You hear me? Yes or no? And thinking you've got money and thinking you've done all this. You didn't make our economy down here. Are y'all hearing me? Yes or no? That's ugly. I could care less. Don't get too cute when you're powerful. Don't get too cute. Amen or oh me? What do I mean? Look at it. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you that you would give me every man the earrings of his prey. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. And they answered, we willingly will give them to you. And they spread a garment. They cast the earrings of the men that they had defeated there, I guess on this blanket or whatever, or this vest. And the way the golden earrings they were crested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian, and beside the chains that were about the camels' necks. Gideon never did this before. He was a humble man. Now he's collecting gold and, you know, from the guys, and he's putting it on a garment. And Gideon made an ephod. What's an ephod? It's almost like a vest with no arms. Could go all the way down to the feet, big long, you understand? Like a robe. The high priest wore them. And he covers this sucker with all these jewels. Got it? Yes or no? So he made an ephod there, and he put it in the city. Now, he didn't wear it. Look at me, I'm Gideon. He didn't wear it, probably because he couldn't have carried it. He's so small. But he didn't do that. He was a humble man. But he put it somewhere, and all of Israel went into that garment. And what's the Bible say? A what after it? A what? A whoring after it. That's a hard word. You know what they started doing? They started worshiping that garment instead of worshiping God. How stupid can you be? Yes or no? Amen. Say. How stupid can we be? Yes or no? Amen. We're humble. We succeed. It goes to our head. We get too cute and all of a sudden we're like idiots again. Yes or no? Amen. That's what I'm learning. Which thing became a... Back it up. Which thing became a what? Say it. A what? Say it loud. A what? And to his house. We got to quit. Die humbly. This thing became a snare. He didn't take being king. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so they lifted up their heads no more against Israel. And the country was in quietness for how many years? 40 years in the days of Gideon. And Jerubbaal, the son of Joash, went and dwelt in his own house. No big king, no nothing. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten. He had plenty to do without ruling a country. Yeah, I'm hearing you. And his concubine that was in Shechem, she also bare him a son whose name was Abimelech. He becomes somebody that's known later. And Gideon, the son of Joash, did what? Died in a good old what? Buried in a sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abizrites. That's the end of our study. Without humility, the vicious cycle returns. Is that what we learned today? Yes or no? This man did all that good. Then right at the end makes this thing. And I honestly think he made it for the glory of God. In my opinion. But it became an object that people worshipped. And this, after he dies, the vicious cycle returned. Isn't that sad? Amen. So the key to success. Are we done? Are we done, Ray? Am I done? What? Say it with me. Here they are. Say it loud. Number one, here we go. Think humbly. Praise others, not yourself. Live humbly. Believe God can, really loud on this one. Don't get too cute. Now, let's thank Him for His Word this morning. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Good message today. Amen. Come on, let's stand on up.